Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery. Our Tuesday show is generally about recovery, recovery from abuse, religious abuse, alcoholism, drug addiction, and things of that nature. Until the election, I've made a decision to use this program to talk about the upcoming election instead of the problems on recovery. Let me just say this. If President Obama is reelected, there's going to be a lot more people in a lot more pain, and they're going to be using a great deal more, and the need for recovery is going to be greater. So if there is ever anybody who would benefit from his reelection that's in the private sector, it would be me, but it's not in the best interest of our nation, and that being the case, it's not all about me. It's all about you and what is going to make this nation strong again. And that would be to not elect Barack Hussein Obama. I'm bringing on my brother, who is always on the political shows with me, but not on the recovery shows. And, you know, because we're doing the political stuff, I'm going to have him be my guest on Mondays and Tuesdays all the way through November, and then we'll see what happens from there. Dick, you're on the, you're live. You're on the air.
Hello, John.
How are you doing?
Good. We had a great show today, so I'm just barely walking in the door.
No. Well, this is quite a time in American history. In one sense, it's extremely exciting. There's never a day that we don't have something to do and something to talk about. The direction of our nation is clearly in front of us. I remember I was too young to vote for the in the election. Yeah, I was too young to vote. You had to be 21, and I saw the choice between Lyndon Johnson and Barry Goldwater, and it was a stark choice. The nation overwhelmingly picked Johnson, and we spent all those years in Vietnam. We created the Great Society, which entitled people to this, that, and the other, and it did not serve us well. We have a similar choice this time. although, you know, there's this big news today that Mitt Romney had a candid speech in front of donors, which is what happens all the time. And you know, he just laid it out exactly, you know, candidly what he thought. And it his thought was 47% of the people are getting free stuff, so they're the ones that want Obama back in. That doesn't leave many more to want him out. The people who are the producers, which are the 53%, and certainly not all those that produce, will vote for Mitt Romney. But this was just, oh, isn't he just terrible for this? You know what? I like
it. He was just stating the facts, wasn't he?
Yeah. I like it. I like that he got out there and actually said something and was not mealy-mouth. I'm tired of mealy-mouth politicians. I'm tired of these political consultants that so carefully construct things that they don't say anything because they're fearful of making a mistake and offending some group. You know what? That the thing that I liked when I was very young about Barry Goldwater was that he absolutely, positively said what he thought. Well, Lyndon Johnson didn't. He lied all the way through. But
he was pretty good at it, though.
Well, he just was, you know, this was just after Kennedy was assassinated. And there was no way that, that anybody was going to, beat Lyndon Johnson. It just was, the nation was still really badly reeling as a result of this. And I mean, I remember it vividly. All right. Now, all of this being the case, here we are in the middle of this election, and I see another historical parallel that I want us to talk about a little bit today. All right, now, in the 70s in Iran, the leader was the Shah. The Shah was a strong leader.
Ayatollah.
Fairly dictatorial. Well, when your brother came to power, he wanted democracy in Iran. So he undermined the Shah. The Shah fell and came to power. The Ayatollah Khomeini. Now, as soon as the Ayatollah Khomeini comes to power, it's heralded as this great democratic revolution in Iran, and it's fostered by Jimmy Carter, who undermined the original regime, which was really a pretty strong friend to the United States in that region. All right. So instead of being grateful to Carter and the United States, what does the Ayatollah do? He invades our embassy, not him personally, but, the mob, and they take everybody from the embassy hostage. And Carter blusters, stammers, finally sends the Army Rangers to try and rescue him. But because he has depleted the military so dramatically, the helicopters crash in the desert, numerous Army Rangers died. I know one of them that was in there, and just the best guy, had a problem with drinking ever since. It's really sad, but they didn't have the equipment. They didn't have what was necessary to do the job because Jimmy Carter took away our military might, which is amazing, being a graduate of the Naval Academy, but he did. Now, all things being equal, about this time in the election cycle, Jimmy Carter was still ahead. But the blustering and his inability to get the release of the hostages made him look weak and pathetic. And guess what?
He was.
He couldn't blame it on Congress. He couldn't blame it on anything other than himself because the foreign policy, more than any other thing, is tied to the President of the United States. he ended up losing the election to Ronald Reagan, and the second, literal second, that Reagan was sworn into office, the plane with the hostages took off. Ronald Reagan said, "Day after I'm president, all bets are off." Because he had the rocks to go in there, and he was going to just really do some serious damage. The Ayatollah knew it. Knew he was a cowboy and wasn't willing to have people in Iran die. And he got Carter out. And Carter was actually the one that started the whole thing that destabilized Iran. Now, I say all that. Fast forward to now. Mubarak was a dictator. In some ways, he was not somebody that you would, you know, that you would want to go to lunch with, probably. But he was a very strong ally of the United States. And he honored the peace accord that stabilized Israel's southern border for 30 years. In comes Barack Hussein Obama, who backs the Muslim Brotherhood that eventually overthrows Gaddafi and Mubarak, and the whole thing is hailed as democracy in the Middle East, and isn't this wonderful? And here's Barack Hussein Obama, who has come in, and, you know, and this is his area. You know, he has a Muslim background. I'm not going to call him a Muslim because that's irrelevant, but he definitely, you know, when he talks about, you know, the Muslim prayers and stuff like that, he speaks, and, you know, and his accent is clearly, well, certainly not American, and he liked that. And I don't, you know, that doesn't bother me, frankly. But destabilizing an ally, just like Carter had done, and what happens? We have these Muslim Brotherhood, instead of being grateful to Carter, excuse me, to Obama, what do? They start burning and rioting, not just in Cairo and in Libya, but also in Somalia, Nigeria, Mauritania, Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, even in London and in the Netherlands, Iran, Iraq, other areas, Egypt, and now down into Cambodia, Malaysia, and Indonesia. All of it. And what is the one consistent theme that they have? It's anti-American. You there?
Yeah.
Doesn't this the similarities? And so now, what does Obama look like? He looks like he's weak and a fool. We have our ambassador pulled out of the embassy with three others. The ambassador, which is the representative of the President of the United States, is sodomized, which means he was raped anally. Our ambassador, because of an affront to something, Muhammad? Isn't sodomy an affront? Isn't rape an affront? Wouldn't that, I mean, how is that justified at any rate? They murder him. And in Cairo, the Marines who were tasked with guarding the embassy were not allowed to have ammunition. Did you know that?
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Now, is there... You're in the Navy. Could you imagine being tasked with protecting something and given a weapon, but not given ammunition? What does that say? What would that indicate to your enemies? I would say it would indicate either a lack of confidence in the military or just out and out cowardice and weakness. This is amazing to me. There's credible intelligence that says that that there were warnings that this strike in Libya was imminent, and at least 48 hours prior to it happening, our government was warned. And what did they do? Nothing. Did they shore up the embassy with a platoon of Marines with weapons and ammunition? No. How does this make us look in the world? Put yourself in the position of either a Muslim in the Middle East or a Chinese communist leader or someone in Russia or even with our allies in NATO, people in Germany and in Great Britain and in France. What would these people think about the United States? What would your perception be of the leadership that we have and the direction this nation is going?
Weak.
What would you think?
I'd say that there is no leader and that the country is backing off on any. They don't want to confront any of these groups. And I also think that this was all pre-planned. I think they all had these things planned for 9/11, and this stupid moronic movie, or whatever you want to call it,
just a clip.
Yeah, became the perfect avenue to hide what they were doing in the first place.
This is a pretty sad situation. We have a president who, just like Jimmy Carter, backed the wrong horse. He destabilized. I mean, I'll grant you that Mubarak was a dictator, but Egypt, which is a big nation, there are 70 or 80 million people in Egypt. It is a little small country. And Mubarak was a friend of the United States, and he maintained peace with Israel. Obama comes in like he knows what he's doing, which he clearly does not, destabilizes Mubarak and Gaddafi. You know what? Gaddafi was a dictator. I mean, I remember, when the Lockerbie jet went down, and it was because of Gaddafi and his sword rattling. Ronald Reagan sent in fighters, and they bombed his compound, killed a couple of his family members, scared the living daylights out of the guy. And you know what? He straightened up for 25 years. That was the end of his terrorism. He said, and we were actually had fairly decent relationships with Libya, but no longer. The Muslim Brotherhood, backed by Barack Hussein Obama, has come in. They've taken over really all of North Africa in all of these different countries. And we have never looked more amateurish, pathetic, more foolish, more inept, and weaker, not since 1979. And the thing is that, just like Jimmy Carter, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are just shocked that the Muslim Brotherhood would turn on them, because they had been their benefactors. The reason is that they don't understand the geopolitical nature of Islam, which is to subjugate the rest of the world. Now, in all of this, as you remember, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu came to the United States, wanted to see the president, and whenever he's asked to see the president, he's always been granted an audience, but not this time. And the reason, President Obama had prior commitment to be on the David Letterman show and to do a fundraiser with Beyonce and Jay-Z or something Z, or you know what I'm talking, you know who is it, the guy that I'm talking about, a rapper?
I have no idea.
But he's a big time Obama guy.
Yeah.
Rapper. The crisis in the Middle East was not as important as these appearances to gain funds and to... He's not leading.
Fundraising. He's looking for money.
It's a really, really sad and difficult situation. And here's Netanyahu, who sees Iran determined to get nuclear weapons, and once they do, to use them first on Israel, wiping it off of the face of the earth, second, attacking the United States. Even though it's suicide to do it, they're going to go forward with it because it is in their Muslim ideological makeup to be suicidal. It will help bring what they call the 12th Imam, which is kind of their version of the return of Christ. Their belief system doesn't value self-preservation, and they're going to have a nuclear weapon. And Barack Obama has done really very little to stop this. His ineptitude in the area of the world where he said he would do the best, he's done the worst, just like Carter. Now, to his credit, Jimmy Carter did have a peace accord, and he is the one that got the peace between Israel and Egypt that has lasted a quarter of a century. So even in his ineptitude, Carter did a couple of things that actually were good, and the Nobel Peace Prize that he got for it, he deserved. Unlike Barack Hussein Obama, who was nominated for things that he would do, and he hasn't done.
Right.
Not just nominated, he has the Nobel Peace Prize, which really makes the credibility of that seem just really pretty poor. Yeah. All right, I've gone on and on and on about this because it's a huge problem. The Israel is the most insecure that it has been since 1967 when they had the war, or 73, and our government is doing nothing about it. Obama says that he's the best president Israel's ever had, and yet he wants them to go back to the pre-1967 borders, which would give up the Golan Heights, which they're not going to do, because it would make Israel indefensible, and no nation's going to do that. And really, it would be very similar to, to us saying, well, you know what, we really should give California and Texas, back to Mexico. Yeah. That ain't going to happen either, particularly Texas.
They could have California right about now.
Well, I really shouldn't have said that, but California was, you remember when we were kids, California dreaming, and everybody wanted to live in California because it was a great place, and, they've absolutely ruined what was the sixth largest economy in the world, the state of California. And, they're beyond broke, and, they have all of these entitlements. And I'll tell you what, if I were Mitt Romney, I would say as a campaign thing, we are not going to bail out the state of California or the state of Illinois or the state of New York when they go broke. Not any of them going to vote for him anyway.
Yeah. Exactly.
That would be like red meat to people like you and me, wouldn't it? Because why do we have to work till we're 75 or 80 years old so that people can, have these cushy pensions that don't work? I don't like it. And frankly, the stuff has got to change, and it's got to change fast. Now, in what we've been talking about the Middle East, are there any things that that you have some questions about that we've been talking about?
Any questions about the Middle East?
What do you think that we should do now that if you were advising President Obama with all of this, what are the things that you would say? I'll tell you one thing I would say. Okay, this is the responsibility of Hillary Clinton. They need to get rid of her. Two, give the Marines bullets.
Right. Yeah.
To not give them bullets is criminal. To put these boys and women in harm's way to protect us and not give them the means to do so is the most despicable thing I have ever heard a president of the United States do.
Yeah.
It's wrong. Morally wrong, reprehensible, evil. And we cannot stand for something like that, not in the United States of America. What do these Muslims fear? They fear power.
Exactly.
Let them see a little bit of the United States
tonight.
You've
got to show strength. You can't.
One thing I'll give Obama credit for, he's used these drones pretty well. Good. Let's use a lot of drones. At any rate. We've talked about this, and I've been burdened about it, and I don't like what I see. And they released this stuff about what Mitt Romney, said that, they've had it since May. They let go of it. Why? So that they could make it, change the topic. We got to go. We're out of time. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Have a great day. Bye-bye now.